Well, greetings, everybody, on this eve of Good Friday with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley. I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or some topic of interest you'd like to discuss, give us a call right now, 844-322-2742. That's the number for the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Well, today is Maundy Thursday. Now, that's an odd name for a day, but it's a day that we commemorate every year during Holy Week, and certainly we want to talk about that today. That word Maundy is a word that comes from a Latin word that means mandate or command, and it's really celebrating the command that Jesus gave to the disciples there as they were celebrating the Lord's Supper, as he washed their feet. He ended that foot washing ceremony with this command: a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. So that's the new commandment, and that's a commandment that has been etched on our hearts and written in our minds in this new covenant. And we want to talk all about that today. And there's lots of things to talk about this foot washing ceremony, this new commandment that the Lord has given. And, you know, the setup is this, that Jesus has gathered his disciples. His hour is at hand. He's preparing them for what is going to happen and what they can expect afterwards as far as the giving of the Holy Spirit. And as he starts this foot washing ceremony, it says this: now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end, or loved them to the full. So that is the setup, and the conclusion of that is this new commandment that we're to love others as God in Christ has loved us. Now, many people try to make it something other than that, and brings a lot of confusion to people's minds as far as what this passage is actually talking about. Many people think, hey, Jesus is saying that we need to wash ourselves daily through our confession of sins and asking God to forgive us. But that's not what he's talking about at all, is it?
Yeah, no, absolutely not. You know, it's interesting how this two-tiered theology has made its way through evangelical Christianity. The two-tiered theology is, hey, you are clean, but not all of you. Taken out of context, that is then spun into the false idea that you are, oh, I don't know, 80-90% clean because of the work of the cross, but you just need a daily touch-up. You need a little bit of a spray bottle of the blood of Jesus every day when you wake up. And so this foot washing, they say, is symbolic or representative of you being mostly forgiven, but not all the way. Maybe you're positionally forgiven, but you're not forgiven in actuality. You're forgiven forensically. You're forgiven in heavenly bookkeeping. But in order for you to be cleansed here on earth, where it really matters, we're going to have you go through this ritual of cleansing, where you confess and then get polished off for the day until tomorrow. Well, you know, a closer look at the passage, guys, and it becomes blatantly obvious that, you know, Jesus is saying you are clean, but not all of you, referring to Judas. Judas is in the group. The rest of them are clean because they believe in Jesus. They trust in Jesus. Sure, the cross and the resurrection bring that forgiveness and bring that new life. But, you know, they're clean except for the one who doesn't believe. They're clean except for the one who has denied Jesus and rejected Jesus and betrayed Jesus and still has Satan filling his heart. So Judas doesn't have that new heart, that resurrection heart. Judas never made it to Pentecost. So what a tragedy that we take this passage out of context, and without even realizing it, perhaps, we insult the blood of Jesus, we insult the work of the cross, and instead we need to see, you know what this is about? This is about the finished work of Jesus Christ being over, being done. You are a forgiven person. Why is he washing feet then? Well, he's washing feet for the very reason he gives. That is a radical example of servanthood, serving one another in love. So, you know, guys, the passage is not really about forgiveness. People can talk all day long about Peter's conversation with Jesus. Well, Peter said, wash all of me. You know, Peter was confused. Jesus, what you doing here? I mean, if you're going to wash, wash all of me. And then Jesus makes a remark like, hey, I hope you had a bath this morning, Pete, because I'm just washing feet here. That's the point of this ritual. That's the point of what we're doing here. It's about servanthood, not about you needing more forgiveness.
Yeah. And love reaches down to the deepest needs and helps lift people up out of those needs and to serve them in that way. And that's exactly what Jesus was doing. He was becoming the most humble of servants and doing the most humble of tasks in washing the feet of the disciples. And the forgiveness of God, the forgiveness that we have in Christ, the very blood that cleansed our consciences from dead works to serve a living God, that liberated our hearts, is the very thing that allows us to love people to the end, to really serve them. So we have to know that we are totally forgiven for this love to flow through us into the lives of others. So there's no way that we can carry out the command that God has given, that Jesus passed on to us, without knowing and resting confidently in the finished work of Jesus Christ. So this we have to know the love of God that was demonstrated for us through Jesus' shed blood. When we know that, then we're free to carry out this command. Yeah. And this is a new covenant commandment. This isn't an old covenant commandment. This is a new covenant commandment. This is something that God's Spirit has brought about inside of us. We have this desire to love others as Christ has loved us. Why do we have that desire? Because God's Spirit has put it there. That's what it means to be made new in Christ. And how do we live it out? We live it out by faith. How do we serve others in love? By faith in Jesus Christ. Paul said it this way, it is faith expressing itself in love.
Absolutely. Well, that's the good news that you hear each day on Basic Gospel, everybody. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call right now at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. Now, tomorrow on Basic Gospel, you'll hear a special Good Friday edition of this program, and I hope you'll be here for it. That means, of course, that today is the final time we'll be speaking about the end-of-the-month need to sustain Basic Gospel as we get into the new month on solid footing. We hope to be able to do that. We've talked for a couple of weeks now about the $25,000 matching gift that we've received, and we ask you, our faithful listener supporters, if you can, to step up and help us fill out this generous matching gift. Every dollar that you give, every dollar will be doubled. And it's a phenomenal way to have your gift make double impact and help Basic Gospel go forward. We hope that you'll make an Easter gift as a way to say thanks for what you have received in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of him, we have life and a joy-filled eternal future. If you like that idea as I do, well, just click donate at basicgospel.net, or you can call 844-322-2742 to make your gift. Either way, we'll give thanks for your prayers and for your support of the message of God's love and the Lord Jesus that you hear every day on Basic Gospel. Again, that's 844-322-2742, or donate online at basicgospel.net. Well, again, that same number, 844-322-2742, is open for your conversations with us here at Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis. We want you to be a part of it. In the meantime, guys, a question from Dee, who writes to us from Cedar Hill, Texas. He says, what does 2 Peter 1:10 mean, to make your calling and election sure? Does God call everyone and some just don't accept him, or does he just have certain ones that he calls? Again, that's from Dee in Cedar Hill, kind of a predestination question, it seems.
Yeah, well, yes. Guys, you know, this is, yeah, it's one that we get often. People want to know, am I chosen? Am I picked? Am I the one? Am I selected? Did God pick me? How can I know? And the reality is, you know, we look at the whole of Scripture, Bob, and it tells us pretty clearly God's desire is that none perish, but all believe. You know, John 3:16. There we are holding the posters up in the football game, in the audience there. And
so that was you. That's you that was wearing
that
wig.
That's always me. Yeah. Yeah. And it says, you know, God so loved the world. And then it says, whosoever. And that whosoever, we need to understand that whosoever means whosoever. So there's no limit to that. When the Son of Man is lifted up, he will draw all men unto himself. Does that mean everybody accepts? No, people reject. He stands at the door and knocks, but some people don't open the door. So, you know, there's a lot to be said about this, what I think is a beautiful message of predestination. It is not about him going down the city street and saying heaven for you and to hell with you and heaven for you and I'll take Tom but not Sally and I'll take Lisa but not Bill. He's not pre-picking people. Instead, the cross is an invitation for all. The resurrection is an invitation for all. So you get into what he's talking about here, and he says, be all the more diligent to make certain about your calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. You know, as you back up, you look at this, and he's talking about character traits. I mean, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. He's saying if you're in, these things will exude in your life. These things will be expressed in your life. There's nothing wrong with a test. I mean, Paul gave us this test as well, not just Peter, but Paul. He said, make sure that Christ lives in you, unless, of course, you fail the test. So there's nothing wrong with a heartfelt, sincere, eager look at, hey, does Christ Jesus live in me? And if so, I can walk forward with assurance of salvation. But if I don't have Christ living in me yet, guess what? Today is the day. Today is the day of salvation for anyone and everyone. So open that door. Let Jesus Christ in, and he changes us at the very core of our being, taking out that disobedient heart and giving us a new righteous heart like his. So, guys, you know, we are chosen people. I mean, the church corporately is we are chosen people. Israel corporately was a chosen nation, a holy nation, and we now are a holy nation, set apart and chosen in Christ. The entire body of Christ has been chosen for a purpose now and for eternity. So we don't need to be confused about these words, predestined, chosen. I mean, God had a predestined plan, and that was that, hey, you Gentiles get to be saved too. You Gentiles get the invitation. You Ephesians, you Romans, you guys are included now too. So that's what predestination is. And then as far as being chosen or being God's elect, I mean, that's true of the entire church. Once we're in Christ, we are part of that chosen body of Jesus that has an eternal purpose. So that's a privilege, and that is something to celebrate.
Boy, it sure is, Andrew. Thanks for those great insights. I just want to add one little piece to this. And, you know, oftentimes we do stumble in our walk, in our walks with Christ, and we feel like we're just stuck in the mud, that we're not progressing, that we're not really growing as the Bible tells us to, as encourages us to. And Peter really, as he explains these qualities, and then he says, make sure of your calling. There's a little piece in there where he says, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Mm-hmm. We stop growing when we start concentrating on whether our sins have been forgiven or not. Mm-hmm. When we get so obsessed with our sins and what God is going to do to us because of our sins, we forget about what he's already done. And so a way that we make our calling sure and effective in our lives is to rest confidently in the finished work of Jesus. It goes back to what we were saying as far as this new command is concerned. We're not going to be able to carry out the command to love others as Christ has loved us if we don't know how he's loved us. and how he's loved us is that he has taken away our sin once and for all, has forgiven each and every one. We are clean people, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. You rest confidently in that, and you will be able to make sure that your calling and election are exactly what God has brought about for you in Christ Jesus.
Absolutely. Amen. Well, this is, of course, Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, Andrew Farley joining us today. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad that you're with us. If you'd like to really join us, give us a call at 844-322-2742. Tomorrow being Good Friday, we'll divert from our regular study on the book of Hebrews just for that week to bring you a special Good Friday program. We'll return with the Hebrew study the following Friday, of course. But in the meantime, a question from Jay, who wrote to us from Grosse Pointe Farms in Michigan. And he says, I enjoy your study on Hebrews, but I have a request. From Hebrews 10:25, can you please explain the meaning of the phrase, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some? What does that phrase mean? That's from Jay in Grosse Pointe Farm in Michigan.
Well, I can need tell to be you, in church every
yeah, every time.
Every
yes.
time the door's open.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, that's exactly what it doesn't mean.
Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were called into fellowship with Jesus Christ and with each other. What better privilege than to meet with each other whenever we can,
yeah.
over lunch, at breakfast, at church, in a home Bible study, you meet somebody on the street, or you're working together. We are brothers and sisters, and it's as simple as that. Don't pull away from each other because you think you're unworthy, or you think you're better, or you think anything. Hang in there with each other because we strengthen each other. And that's exactly what the writer of Hebrews says. We build each other up in the faith because we're together. And it's just so sad that we take a blessed statement like that and turn it into the worst form of legalism and beat people up because they missed a week.
Yeah.
You know, please, let's stop.
Right.
Exactly. Well, but I want to make sure I earn my pin this year.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. I just think Richard needs a little more passion.
Maybe.
Yes, yes.
I'm sorry, Andrew. You actually do lead a church, so I step on your toes there.
I'm there most Sundays, so I'm hoping to get my pin.
Yeah.
There you go. Hey, friends, please remember to help us fill out that $25,000 matching gift with your most generous gift, your Easter donation, to keep Basic Gospel going forward. We need your prayers and your support now, as always. And to double the impact of your gift right now, just click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742 or at basicgospel.net. Open lines at the same number right now. We'd love to hear from you. 844-322-2742. Bob?
Well, thanks, Bob. I got an interesting email today, and it's about love and the definition of love in 1 Corinthians 13. And this particular person was asking what it means that love protects. And she had somewhat of an understanding of how God's love protects her. You know, the fact that in Christ there's no condemnation for those who belong to him, that our sins have been taken away. But how does that relate in relationships one to another? How does our love for each other spell itself out in protection of one another? I thought that was a great deal, especially in light of this commandment to love one another as God in Christ has loved us. How does that protective quality of love manifest itself in our relationships one to another, guys?
Yeah, well, you know, first you think about the whole of this love, and you know, we were talking earlier about the Last Supper. We were talking about the new command. I mean, you know, put it in context with the old command concerning love first. I mean, God has always been love. God is love. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So in the old context of love, the law-based type love, you know, it was love your God with all your strength. Do your best. Love your God with all your strength, all your soul, all your might. Do your best. And now, under the new covenant, we've got God's love first. So I love this question because, you know, we first ask, how does God protect us? How does God seek what's best for us? How does God believe us and trust us and hope for us and endure everything with us? And, you know, the gospel, in the gospel, he has spelled out love. I mean, You know, he's given us this place of honor and respect at his table that we don't deserve. He's made us one with Jesus Christ. We don't deserve that. So he's spelling love in so many ways. As far as, you know, us loving other people then and reflecting that, emanating that, soaking in God's love and allowing that to spill over into other people's lives, I would say, you know, I'm blown over by the idea that first love believes all things. That means I want to believe the best in my spouse. I want to believe the best in my friendships. And when you say, how is that protective? Well, it's protective of their reputation, so we don't want to run around town talking badly about people. We want to believe the best about them. Until proven otherwise, look, believe them, trust them, love them, hope the best for them, endure hardship with them, don't tarnish their reputation, protect them, protect what other people think about them, and in doing so, we will be loving them and having healthier relationships. Too many times, you know, we talked about not forsaking the gathering together. Well, what is it that tears people apart? What tears people apart is the polar opposite of what we just shared. I mean, you know, bickering and infighting and gossip and slander and going behind people's backs. So I just love who God is and what love really means here, because it is a pathway to healthier relationships. And meanwhile, we are expressing Christ Jesus, and there's no better way to live anyway.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I love the underlying connotation of the Greek. It was a word that was used to describe a roof. So you put a roof over a house to protect everything inside from the elements outside, from the rain and the storms and the wind and all of that. And so that's what love does. It covers over. It provides a protective roof to protect that relationship, to protect that person from the slander and the gossip and all of those things that are out there in the world. And when that's in place, there's a sense of safety. We can actually take down our masks. We can actually just be honest and real and true and genuine with one another, and in so doing can strengthen one another together. And that is just such a powerful, powerful picture to me, that love covers over a multitude of sins. It doesn't expose those sins out there to the world. We see a beautiful picture of that with Noah and his sons. You know, Noah gets drunk, and
right,
one son just goes into the tent and comes out and just blabs it to everybody. Well, what do the other two do? They walk in backwards, and they carry a blanket, and they cover over their dad. And that's a picture of this protective nature of love. It is such a beautiful, beautiful picture. And boy, if we would take that to heart, we would see some safety and freedom and real growth and just a wonderment of the love of God in relationships one to another. So I thought that was a great question, Andrew. Thanks for those wonderful thoughts and insights.
Absolutely. Well, it's the good news that you hear is, I just make it a point every day to say that's what you hear every day on Basic Gospel, and it truly is the truth. We're glad that you're with us today, everybody. Remember, friends, that this is a listener-supported ministry, and to help spread the good news, the news that you hear every day on Basic Gospel, well, we received a $25,000 matching gift from a faithful supporter. Now, that means every dollar you give to support Basic Gospel right now will be matched up to $25,000, an effective doubling of your gift. So please help us and other supporters who step up. Help us take advantage of this double opportunity. Click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. We would love for you to partner with us here at Basic Gospel. Again, to say thanks for your support in these final days before Easter, we'll send you a copy of the CD series, The Resurrection, Power for Daily Living. Again, click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. Also want to remind you that we have a great app. If you have not downloaded it yet, we encourage you to go to the App Store and do that right now. There's a lot that you can do with it. You can tune into the broadcast every day. You can pose a question. You can make your donation through the Basic Gospel app. Hope you'll download it now. Well, now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, for Andrew Farley and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to join us again tomorrow for that Good Friday edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.